Sunday will be taken from the Gospel of Mark. We're going to read from chapter 9. We're going to read the first 10 verses, verses 1 through 10. And we're going to read this in Jesus' name. If you are able and willing, please rise for the reading of the Gospel. Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, beginning at verse 1. Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste death till they have seen the kingdom of God with power. And after 6 days Jesus taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and leadeth them up into a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. And his raiment becoming shining exceeding white as snow, so that no fuller on earth could whiten them. And they appeared unto them Elias and Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And suddenly, when they had looked all around, they saw no man any more, save Jesus only with themselves. And they came down from the mountain, and he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen, till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another what is the rising from the dead should mean. Amen. Please be seated. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of this word, this day and every day, henceforth. Amen. This part of Scripture is very unique. Now, obviously, it's probably heard it and had it preached a new great understanding. I probably will share with you things that you have probably encountered before. See, and that's not really a problem. Sometimes we are looking for something new. Sometimes we're looking for something great and exciting to come out of something we've heard before. But what about the consistency of the text that's there? What about the consistency of God revealing truly who Christ is and his powerful state? 3 of the Gospels record this text. We see it in Matthew, we see it in Mark, and we see it in Luke. It's very interesting. When you turn around and you look at it, Jesus makes this great statement in all of them. You know, because all the Gospels, they can vary according to the person that is writing it. In other words, different things might catch different people's attention when the Spirit reveals to them in a different fashion, but it all have the same context. Jesus opens up by saying, Truly, I'm telling you that there are some here, standing here today, which shall not taste death till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And to me, that's very, very interesting. A lot of traditional ways to take this is, wow, Jesus makes this great statement. He does this bold thing of telling them something so great, and then we see after 6 days what takes place. Transfiguration. I do think that this text can encompass that. I do think that Jesus can be speaking of that. But the fact of it is, this is the Gospel of Mark that we're reading it in. The Gospel of Mark is a powerful, powerful scripture. It is a powerful testament of what Jesus Christ has done. And it shows from the beginning of his ministry when he walks out onto the scene, if we could say it in that fashion, and he proclaims and he speaks, we see the power of the kingdom of God right from the beginning of his ministry. In the Gospel of Mark, we see so many what we would call miracles that it shouldn't be too shocking for us to understand, at least by this point, who he is. It's very interesting when you see in the Gospel of Mark, if you've considered it, if you've actually gone through and read that book to consider the mighty acts that have taken place. We see that Jesus has this great ability and this power, if we could say it, over the creation itself, over diseases, over even increasing food, whatever it may be, whatever he has a need of, the power of the kingdom of God is shown. Jesus never lacks. in the Gospel of Mark. So what is this talking about? He says, I'm telling you, there are some here today who will not see death until they see the power of the kingdom of God, that it would come in. So what is he talking about? Are we willing to say the man healed of the legions, that wasn't the power of the kingdom of God? The one with the withered hand, was that not the power of the kingdom of God? The calming of the storm, was that not the power of the kingdom of God? There must be something greater. And there is. I'm not asking these questions to be argumentative. I'm not asking these questions to turn around and try to get you to debate within your mind. If this is not about, there must be. Do we know who we are? Do we know who we are? As a child of God, and who we are, possessing the power of the Holy Spirit, or are we still looking for the miracles? Tangible things. Are we still seeking to heal a body that will die another day? Still seeking in these things, or do we understand, redeemed child of God, and the finished more than conquerors? This is the question we need to ask ourselves. So I do believe that Jesus is talking something greater than this transfiguration. But it is important for them to see the transfiguration so that they may understand and know exactly who they're dealing with. They're not just dealing with a prophet. They're not just dealing with some guy that has some great tricks in his hands, or maybe even some guy that has found great favor with God. So, he makes a statement, and after 6 days, Jesus takes with him Peter, James, and John. He leads them up into a high mountain, and apart by themselves, it says that he was transformed. Metamorphosis. That's what we understand when we see the caterpillar turn into a butterfly. Metamorphosis. Before their very eyes, he was totally transformed into his kingly estate of who he is. Can you imagine this? Peter, James, and John get to see Christ in his true identity. This is a very, very powerful moment. There's no doubt about it. But that's not the end of the moment. It says that he was transformed right there. And it says his raiment actually became exceedingly bright, that no one on earth could mimic this. And then it says something interesting. There appeared to him Elijah and Moses. And they were talking with Jesus. And I'm not going to make this mistake again. Yes, it does say that they were talking about his journey to Jerusalem. I was corrected on that. But the fact of it is, on the prophets, the great icons of the old king with Jesus. Now, Luke is the only one to share with us that they were talking about his journey to Jerusalem and what he will accomplish there. And you know, that's enough. That's enough to know the serious conversation that was taking place. And I don't have any great insight of what Elijah and Moses could be sharing with him. I'm sure, if anything, and this is my own mind working, they were encouraging him. It says that even when Jesus became overwhelmed, that the angels came and ministered to him. You know, we often turn around and we have a tendency just to see angels as these fluttery little butterflies. But the fact of it is, it speaks in Greek as angelos, as a messenger. And I do believe at this point, at least at this moment, these messengers were encouraging him, sharing with him. And I don't have any privy information to what exactly they said. And I don't think that's the key point. Because the point is made very directly, because then it turns around and now Peter, he sees this great moment. He sees Jesus standing there in his full glory. He sees Elijah, he sees Moses, and he says, you know what? We should do something religious here. We should remember this moment. We should make tabernacles, 3 of them. He says, really, what he says in English, he says, we should make some shrines here. And what do as human beings? We worship. The scripture is very open to the fact Peter was worked up. He didn't know what to say. I know what that's like. Some of them will never taste death until they see the power of the kingdom of God come in its full glory. And then we see Jesus there. And then we see Elijah. We see Moses. And Peter's like, this has got to be the moment. This has got to be something we got to remember forever and ever and ever. He didn't know what else to say. He says, it's good that way. And it really says here in Mark, he says, because he didn't know what else to say. He started to babble. Have you ever done that? Have you ever gotten so worked up over a moment you don't know what to say? Whether good or bad or otherwise, you just don't know what else to say, so you just start talking? Yeah, I have that problem. Oftentimes I have constipation of the brain and diarrhea of the mouth. That's what I have often do. But the fact of it is that God in times of our ignorance winks at that. He winks at our ignorance. And I think it's so interesting because as soon as he makes a statement, this Jesse statement, this human statement, this Peter statement, it says in some of them that the cloud covered over them. And a voice out of the cloud comes and says, this is my beloved son. Hear him. Hear him. Do we hear the voice of Jesus Christ? Do we hear the gospel message? Do we hear this proclamation and do we know him? Do we hear the voice of the shepherd? That is the question for Christendom. Religion hears all kinds of things. Religion of men was like Peter saying, let's now build a tabernacle. Let's do this. Let's make a place to come and worship. Let's make a place to remember. But it's not about Elijah. It's not about Moses. It's about Jesus Christ and him alone. Brothers and sisters, do we hear the gospel message of redemption through the finished work of Jesus Christ? Do we understand and know the blood of Christ covers the multitude of my sin? That there is no trial upon earth that can rob this hope from you. That your sin, my sin, is covered. This is huge. This is bigger than some moment on a mountain with Elijah and Moses. This is beyond that. In all three Gospels and speaks very boldly in a message to the three different people. Hear him. Hear him. I come back to the Gospel of John when the people come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, what must we do? What must we do to do the works of God? What religious things can we do? And Jesus says very plainly, and God said, this is my son, hear him. This is the work of God. Believe in him who he has sent. Peter, James, and John, where is your attention fixated on? Is it on Elijah and Moses and Jesus? There is no room. It is Christ and Christ alone. And it's an interesting thing because you come to this point and you're like, this is a huge moment, no doubt about it. And this cloud now goes away, and in our text we see kind of a different ending, but I love how one of the Gospels speaks so strongly. Because it says that when this voice in this cloud came, the people, James and John, and Peter, James and John, they hit the dirt. And that's what you do, right? When you encounter God, you hit the dirt, and you hope for the best. But does Jesus leave them there? No. In another gospel, it says he came over and he touched them. He offers comfort. And he says, don't be afraid. Brothers, God, and he said, this is my beloved son. Hear him. And his son, in the gospel says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. The victory is won in and through the finished work of Jesus Christ. So we turn around and time flees from us, no doubt about it. But the fact of it is, we turn around and we ask, well, if this isn't the greatest moment, then what could be? And I think in all honesty, and I could be all wrecked on this and someone can correct me, no problem. I think it's awesome that Jesus reveals who he is. I think it's awesome that Jesus comes and shows us with his righteousness and his holiness and his perfectness who he is. But the amazing thing is who he creates us to be. This is the power of the kingdom of God. In other words, we can expect it in Jesus because he's God. We can expect it in Jesus because he's of the Trinity. And I'm not saying that it was light for him to become flesh, no doubt about it. I'm not trying to argue that point. But what I'm saying is for him to go through the work and allow the transition in our lives by the power and the imputation of the Holy Spirit. And I think if we're to be honest with ourselves, that is a miracle. When we look to the book of Acts, chapter 1, Jesus now, he comes to the group and he shows himself that he was alive after his passion. He had shown himself through many proofs and being seen 40 days and speaking the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Verse 4 says, and now being assembled together with them, they commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, ye have heard of me. And John truly baptized with water. You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Not many days hence. Corrupt and corruptible. We see his flesh will be new creatures in Jesus. This is the God being shown. Says to them, hey, well, you know what? To get us all together, when will you restore things? And he says, it's not for you to know what the Father has put in his own power. He says, I don't even know this. He says, but you shall receive the power. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me both in Jerusalem and Judea and to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. This is the power of the kingdom of God, that we are his ambassadors by faith through grace, that we have received the power of his Holy Spirit, and that we may enter out into a sin-cursed earth and enter out there with a powerful message that will bring restoration. This is huge. Maybe I'm all wet. Maybe I'm just crazy. Can there be anything greater? That me being a sinner, lost in my own demise, by the finished work of Jesus Christ, by the faith given by God, have become in reality the ambassador of the gospel. This is a true power. And it has nothing to do with me physically doing anything. It is an imputation of God the Father through the Holy Spirit. And it says very straightforward in chapter 2, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, rushing a mighty wind, and it filled the whole house, and they were all sitting therein. And it says that there appeared unto them cloven tongues like fire that it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance. And there dwelling in Jerusalem were devout men out of every nation. Now this is an interesting thing. The power of the holy walls. Now this is not some sort of goofy language. I don't believe that. And this application here, it speaks very plainly. The word was translated somehow. But in other words, the fact of it is, it says in this text in chapter 2 of Acts that everybody heard it in their own language. It was the power of the Holy Spirit working. This is not some sort of gift that I play with or that I deal with. This was God's power and his kingdom acting in these people and moving through these people. And they all thought he were crazy. They turned around and said, these guys are drunk. And Peter said, they aren't drunk. This is the power of the kingdom of God showing itself. Jesus says very plainly, and you can read through that whole thing. And I think it comes to very much straightforward that Peter really kind of comes to this final point here. He says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is that great and mighty power. That through the finished work of Jesus Christ, we can be proclaimers of this good news on earth. That we can enter in all places. Think about it. They were all assembled together. But were they all there? No. One was missing, weren't they? Judas. So was Jesus true to his word? Truly, I'm telling you, there be some of them that stand here which shall not taste death till they see the power of the kingdom of God. Judas was missing. So even his word is accurate in this. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I don't mean to belittle the great and mighty works that are done through the Gospels, showing the power. And I am not at all belittling the Transfiguration. I think it is a very powerful and monumental moment throughout the text and throughout history. But to think that God loved us so much that through the death of His Son, He redeemed us and brought restoration where there, that is the greatest power of display of the kingdom of God. And I want you to think about that for a moment, that He loves you. And I don't mean to be selfish, there's a lot of people in the room, but each and every one of us to take this thought to an account, that God loved me so much that He gave me His only begotten Son. That in faith in Him, I shall never die, but I have eternal life. Did we see Jesus heal? Yes, we did. Did we see Jesus bring restoration even to that earthly life? Yes, through His ministry we saw that. And that power is still available to each and every one of us. But the greatest promise that He makes to us is that we believe in Him and we trust in Him, we will never die. We've seen bodies fail. We've seen lives cease to exist on earth. But brothers and sisters in Christ, I know by the faith God has given that they are not dead. That in the finished work of Jesus Christ, they live in Him. This is the victory that we have. This is the greatest power. That we can enter out into a world that knows nothing but darkness. And we, by the power of the Holy Spirit, can be that light. This is a transfiguration. God didn't just keep it for Himself. He spread it throughout all His loved ones. Boy, are we blessed. They wondered what these things meant, and they turned around and they pondered these things in their heart because Jesus told them something very serious. He said that don't ever share anything about this until you see me resurrected. Till the day of Pentecost. Or till that time. Isn't that amazing? Jesus speaks so consistently. His word goes so consistently, and we're the ones that, if we could say it this way, are wondering, what's He mean? What's He talking about? But if we are patient and we wait upon the Lord, the answer. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you have the answer. Crucified. We know nothing else. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we know that there are many that are going through that struggle in different ways. We all have it. So allow us to live day of Pentecost, that we would be just, that even as the Old Testament, allow us to be bold and allow us to move forward in faith and love and also with charity with one another. We pray that you'd be with each and every one that has any difficult struggles, whether it be coming up this week or in the near future. We pray that you'd be with them and encourage them in this time. We pray that you'd be with all those that are dealing with health issues. There are just so many that plague us, and we pray, Father, that you'd continue to encourage us. But most of all, Father, allow each and every one of us never to lose sight of that greatest victory. We have eternal life in Him. We pray that you'd be with us, and as we have a time of fellowship also after the service, we pray that you would allow each and every one to feel free and welcome to come. And most of all, Father, that we'd bring you honor and glory in all we say and do. Now, Lord, bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift His countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.